the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 15th of November, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And we're broadcasting live at RadioArian.com today because we've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, we're drowning in freezing rain here in Pittsburgh. When you have a city as hilly as this, with frozen rain everywhere, you take your life in your hands driving. Really not because of the weather, but because of other people. So I'm as good as can be expected under these conditions.
Well, I'm sure California could do with some of that rain at the moment. We've had a beautiful day here in sunny Wales, and there's actually lots of excitement going on in Britain at the moment. We're actually going to be talking about NATO and Russia today, but we should just mention what's happening. Four ministers have resigned from the British government. A letter has been sent in. I believe it's signed by 45 ministers, and that is calling into question the Prime Minister's leadership. It's a letter of no confidence, basically saying nobody has any confidence left in the Prime Minister and she should step down and there should be a leadership challenge. And this is all about her Brexit shambles, the deal which she's gone over the top of the heads of the first Brexit secretary, and the whole Brexit secretary team resigned, and now she's gone over the heads of the new Brexit secretary and he's just resigned. And this deal which she's arranged basically means that we stay within the customs union and it's impossible to get out. We don't have control of our borders. We don't have control of our laws. We don't have any say in the way the European Union is run, and we pay £40 billion, I think. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's far worse than actually staying in the European Union, and there's lots of people are saying, right, we just can't have this. The Labour Party have said they're not going to vote for it. Arlene Foster and the Northern Ireland Party that are actually backing up the Conservatives, they're not going to vote for it to pass it. The SNP, they're not going to pass it. And half the Conservative Party have said, well, we're not going to pass it either. And in fact, we're just going to resign unless you do something about this. So, she's about to give a conference, which I'll keep an eye on as we go through this podcast. But, you know, my fingers are crossed that she's going to step down and we might actually get a proper prime minister in there that does actually want to leave the European Union. So it's just a little bit of up-to-date news there, Matt. Have you got anything you'd like to say about that before we get into Russia and NATO?
Well, I don't follow English politics as a matter of course, really. I think that's also a specialized area like any other part of the world. I think as far as the European Union is concerned, there is actually a connection between this and the NATO exercises because, you know, the two countries that really don't want these exercises are France and Germany. And Germany, you know, would much rather be out of the EU than in it and has already made all of these separate deals with Russia that go against the Western sanctions, I should say American sanctions. The exercises we're going to talk about today are not popular in the EU. And I don't even think they're popular in Poland because of American pressure on their immigration policy. So the U.S. is pushing way too hard. So I think there's definitely a connection between the European Union and issues in England and elsewhere, especially Germany, and these exercises.
Well, that's interesting because Macron is the main one that's pushing for the European Union. And I mean, he's got Merkel right there beside him. They're saying, well, nationalists are traitors. They actually said nationalists are traitors the other day, and that we are the cause of all the wars, and that the European Union is the way forward. Closer integration, no borders, open immigration, and that's what you're going to get with the EU. And they're really really pushing this. And I always saw it that NATO was seen as that's the defensive force of the European Union. But now Macron's talking about a European Union army, which they're saying that they're probably going to have within the next couple of years. So, I mean, that would really mean that NATO is redundant, wouldn't it? If the European Union has its own army. So this would fit in with what you're saying, Matt, isn't it? If you think that
it's been absurd for a long time. You're right. And any EU army, and I doubt this, because of course Germany would have to pay for it. The French and the Germans would butt heads. It's not just a matter of their chief executives. You know, German capitalists are vehemently opposed to these sanctions. The French have wanted out of NATO for a long time. But any removal of NATO would mean that these countries are going to have to pay a lot more for defense. And that's money they don't have. So I think that's a lot of wishful thinking at this point.
Yeah, that's a big part of it as well, isn't it? That Donald Trump has been saying that they've got to pay more for their defense. And yet it's only 2% of the budget. And when you think about how much, you know, is normally spent on defense for a country, that's peanuts. I mean, how much of the budget is spent on defense in America, Matt? Is it 50%, 10%, 25%?
It's not quite $1 trillion. When you include the social spending that goes along with the military budget, you have, I mean, officially it's like $700 billion this year. But you have to add social elements and the civilian contractors and everything else, and that really pushes it towards $1 trillion. So this is a huge proportion of the budget, the largest in the world, both by proportion as well as absolute numbers. And a lot of it is now being based on this alleged Russian threat, which doesn't exist. And you know, one of the key factors here is the British ruling class. I mean, sorry, the German ruling class. They want to invest in Russia. They're profiting from Russia. And I'm hoping that those guys can get on our bandwagon to fight the EU. This would be a wonderful thing, and it's already happening. So, you know, the Theresa May thing is definitely good news.
Well, this NATO thing, I mean, it's been all over the news over the last week, all about the drills that have been taking place in Norway. That's what we're going to be really talking about today. And according to the Russian Defense Ministry, NATO has tripled its military presence on Russia's western borders over the past 5 years, forcing Moscow to respond. Russia has repeatedly warned that increased NATO presence on its doorstep effectively contributes nothing to the regional security, while on the contrary, undermines stability in Europe. And the latest example of this has been these NATO war games in Norway. We've had masses and masses of troops. They started off in Reykjavik, Iceland, and then they made their way over to Norway. And these drills have included roughly 65 Navy vessels, 10,000 vehicles, and 250 aircraft right on Russia's doorstep doing these military drills. And of course they're saying, well this isn't aimed at Russia, but who else is it aimed at, and how do they think this is going to be responded to in Russia? How do they think the Russians are going to feel about this? I mean, obviously they're going to have to beef up their own defense, which of course is what we saw in Putin's speech to the nation a while back. He talked about all the new weapons that they had and all the new military hardware that Russia was working on. And this is because of it, because we have these NATO war games right on Russia's doorstep. When do we ever hear about Russia doing any war games on Europe on the European doorstep or on the American doorstep? We don't. Do you know anything about the Russian war games at all, Matt, that go on? They must have some somewhere.
Well, they have regular drills. I mean, they had a defensive drill on the very same day. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, when, you know, late October when these drills began. And, you know, they're timed to go off at the exact same time because essentially it's a simulated war. I've been saying for the last 15 years that the U.S. is in a de facto state of war with Russia. And that's for a bunch of reasons. It's to maintain NATO's relevance. It's to justify the military budget. It's to get America out of its depression that it's in. It's to give the U.S. An enemy to focus on. Islam is too slippery of an enemy for that. And anti-Russianism or Russophobia can unite both elements of the right and the left, which is a key element for the ruling class. And yet you have strong, very powerful actors in Europe that are opposed to it. But of course, these games were aimed at Russia. They were, from a materiel point of view, a disaster. And the laughable thing we're going to talk about is the blaming the Russians for their GPS failures. But these kind of failures happen all the time.
Oh, is that an absolute failure? Absolute failure, as we'll hear about. But just before we get into that, I mean, they really do seem to be ramping up for war. Ramstein Air Base in Germany has received around 100 containers of ammunition in the largest delivery of ordnance to the US forces in Europe since the NATO bombing of Yugoslavia in 1999. The Pentagon is aiming to improve the response time of the US military by pre-positioning ammunition, fuel, and equipment to be able to provide a rapid response against threats made by aggressive actors, it said. Ramstein is the largest US overseas airbase and a major airlift hub, so our main job is to get munitions where they need to be on time, Master Sergeant Arthur Merrick, 86th Munitions Squadron Munitions Flight Chief, explained. These are real-world munitions to fulfill real-world objectives. That's the reason we are downloading these things, to make sure we have the capability to move the fight forwards if need be. So, you know, they really are prepared for this. And when these war games are going on, Matt, you say Russia is also having war games. I guess they're counteracting what NATO are doing. Well, do you think they actually talk to one another to find out who won these war games? Through a back door at all?
Well, you know, they had the World Army Games. I think it just ended last week. The U.S. was invited to, they're like almost the Army Olympics. And of course, Russian equipment was first rate. The U.S. refuses to become a part of this because they'd rather not have their equipment put up against the Russian. This staff sergeant says this is a real world objective, real world munitions. Now, what does that tell you? You know, and Putin, if Putin wasn't running Russia, I think this would be, they'd be shooting already, because he knows how to outmaneuver the West. He knows how to exploit their weaknesses. And remember, when we say NATO, we're not referring to these anti-communist crusaders. You know, this isn't 1954. We're referring to liberals. We're talking about unrestrained capitalism, abortion, homosexuals, open immigration, anti-white policies, philo-Semitism. That's what NATO is. So it is the army of the great Satan, as the Iranians call the U.S. So remember, this is a force for the left now. This is a force for liberalism and nothing else.
It's the New World Order army, isn't it? That's what NATO is. Stocking up with all those weapons, I mean, that's basically saying that all the munitions required for a war. So obviously, you know, Putin must be a good guy because he's not responding to this. He's not taking the bait. He obviously doesn't want to have a war with us, no matter how much Trump encourages it. So they've had these war games, and it's just been a list of mishaps and accidents, and it just looked ridiculous. The first one happened in Iceland. It was only supposed to be a pit stop, but some 7,000 US troops taking part in mass NATO drills nonetheless managed to deplete the bars and restaurants in Iceland's capital Reykjavik of all their beer, according to local media. The troops stopped in Iceland over last weekend while on their way to Norway for the Trident Juncture 2018 NATO drills, but apparently unconcerned about moderating their intake of booze just before Trident Juncture 18, thought to be NATO's biggest military exercise since the Cold War, the troops plunged several bars in downtown Reykjavik into a state of emergency as they went nuts on their beer. US soldiers were not satisfied with just any beer and specifically requested the local one. So brewery Olgerd Egil's Skallgrimssonar, which makes a popular Icelandic gull, had to send emergency supplies to various bars, according to local news site Vizier. Does this sound to you like a top quality army? I mean, even people that are going out to play a football match, they don't drink the night before. And yet here we've got this army that are obviously getting absolutely hammered in Iceland. They obviously don't think that much of having a clear head the next day while they're going about on these war games if they're just getting drunk. I mean, what was the Russian response to all this alcoholizing, I guess you could call it, in Iceland, Matt?
I don't know. I can only imagine that they were laughing about it. But we know the infamous beauty of Icelandic women. So the minute I hear something about these guys getting wasted, I shudder a little bit. Because I wonder, you know, drunk Americans who think they're invincible and they can do as they please, wandering the streets, I hope they lock these women up. The first thing that pops into my head is sexual assault, which I guarantee you occurred, which isn't being covered. The element here is that in a lot of the population in America, these military guys are worshipped because now the enemy is nationalism, not communism. So they're worshipped, they're venerated in this country by a lot of people, a lot of stupid people, and these guys think they could do no wrong. The fact that commanders would permit this, that the MPs wouldn't be arresting these guys, making a fool of themselves, making themselves as irritating as possible. You know, thousands of drunk grunts wandering the streets. I mean, how could that have been positive? We know what the Allies did in France during World War II. We know the rape levels. We know the sexual assault levels there, which were suppressed at the time. And I can't imagine it was any different here. So they're going out of their way to make as many enemies as possible, it seems.
Yeah, there's no self-discipline whatsoever. I was really quite shocked to hear that they were all just got really hammered before going on these exercises. You really would think that they would have discipline there, and so you're not going out in the bars. You're not going out at all. You've got to stay on the base. Or if you do go out, you're going to be drink tested on the way back. But no, they drank the bars dry in the capital city of Iceland. And then once the actual manoeuvres started taking place in Norway, hundreds and hundreds of complaints were registered with the country's military, drawing attention to human waste left by foreigners in public places. NATO troops, mostly Swedes and Americans, it says here, were reportedly caught relieving themselves near kindergartens, schools and sports facilities, according to Norway's broadcaster NRK. Other complaints came from local farmers who were angry about their property being damaged by armoured vehicles. Norwegian Major Marianne Bowe, sounds like a female, responsible for damages and environmental protection during the NATO exercise, said the army usually has a system for treating this, but something apparently went wrong. "This is terrible. It's about having common decency," the officer lamented. "We have to clean up after soldiers who have relieved themselves. It's literally a shitty job." The news was met with little praise from Trident Juncture headquarters either, which promised to take all the complaints seriously. I mean, this is third world behaviour. Crapping on the streets, crapping in the sports fields, crapping outside the kiddies' schools. And this is the sort of thing that you see happening in Africa. You don't expect to see it happening in Norway. You don't expect to see it happening from NATO soldiers. And to say it was mostly Swedes and Americans, I mean, you could think, well, maybe there's a lot of blacks that are in the that are among the American soldiers there, but Swedes? Was it non-white Swedes that were doing this? I was really shocked to hear this, that NATO just crapped all over Norway. And what do you make of this, Matt? Do they not have their own, a way of dealing with human waste? Do they not think about that beforehand? Did they not give them a trowel to bury it or something?
The first thing that popped into my head, of course, is Sweden is neutral. Sweden is not a member of NATO. Iceland certainly is, but Sweden is not. Sweden is not. Norway is, of course. Lithuania is, Latvia is, but Sweden is not a member. So I think this is a way that the press is deflecting. Of course, so it's, to me, this is purely an American matter. This is how Americans treat people, and this is how a lot of us would treat people if we're being told every day that we are the saviors of the world. We are the guardians of democracy, and we're absolute heroes in every way. This is what you do, and I'm sure alcohol had a lot to do with this. I'm sure drugs had a lot to do with this. This is shocking. This is outrageous. And this is all paid for by the American taxpayer.
And that's so bizarre. So bizarre, Matt, to say it's Swedes, and Swedes aren't even part of NATO. I mean, what is going on?
Well, none of it surprises me. The worship of the, and this isn't the case, I don't think, in England nearly as much, but the worship of the American military is to such an extreme extent that you have an entire class of crimes where people are trying to pretend that they're military people to get all of that kind of adulation and money and everything. There has to be laws passed because it's so overwhelming how many people want to dress up in uniform to get that kind of worship. So-called Stolen Valor Act, which has been modified. That's how intense it is in this country. And so when you, I think that's changing though, but when you're told this every day, this is how you're going to behave. These are overpaid, frankly, spoiled guys, who really do think that they are the center of everything. And, this is doing nothing but hastening the demise of this ridiculous organization.
Well, it gets worse. I mean, it's bad enough drinking the place dry, getting drunk, crapping everywhere. But there, all these accidents took place as well. Slippery Norwegian highways saw several NATO vehicles collide or veer off the road. And the crashes occurred in different parts of the country involving American, Swedish and Italian troops. Those incidents left no fatalities, but they did disrupt traffic and required ambulances to transport the injured to local hospitals. But dangerous collisions happen not only on land, but also in Norway's uneasy waters. The Trident juncture came to a spectacular end on November the 7th, but the next day, a Norwegian Navy frigate, Helge Ingstad, collided with a Maltese tanker, Solar TS, near an island chain off Norway's western coast. The vessel, which had received a long tear in the hull, started to take on water, prompting the crew of 137 to abandon the ship. Helge Ingstad deliberately ran aground to prevent capsizing, and a race is now underway to save the frigate from sinking. Well, they failed in that race to save the frigate from sinking. It actually sank today. So without even actually fighting against a real enemy, one of these Navy frigates ended up being sunk by deliberately crashing into an oil tanker. And apparently right up to the moment it actually crashed, they were saying, "We're in control, don't worry, we've got everything in hand, we're not going to hit the boat." And they did, and it sank. I mean, it's just a catalogue of errors. I would say this is probably due to diversity hiring. I'd like to know how much diversity there was actually involved in this. And whenever I hear of things like this happening, accidents happening when they shouldn't happen, I think that's probably due to multiculturalism. It's probably due to these diversity quotas that they have to put these blacks in there. But to think that that's how this ended, basically, with two ships crashing. After all the cars crashing, all the vehicles crashing, the big crescendo at the end was these two ships crashing one into the other. Oh, thousands of litres of gasoline went into the water as well, into Norway's fjords, and then this boat sunk. And apparently there were a lot of people injured as well. I mean, it's hardly a triumphant war manoeuvres that are going to strike fear into Putin's heart, are they? I mean, this is just a bunch of clowns, basically. They've made a laughing stock out of NATO. This is probably why you won't hear about it on the, you know, on the national news.
Yeah. Well, anybody who's been reading me, following me for the last few years knows that attacking the U.S. military is really like a hobby of mine. And the truth of the matter is, despite the budget being almost $1 trillion, these kind of accidents are a daily occurrence. The Russians can take solace in a few things. First of all, planes, both Navy and Air Force, are falling out of the sky. There's accidents everywhere. And same thing for Navy ships. About half of the Air Corps, the Navy, cannot fly, either through personnel or mechanical reasons. But the desperation of the Air Force for retaining pilots is so overwhelming. These guys are getting six-figure bonuses just to stay on. You could become wealthy. More than half of the fighter jets under U.S. control don't have any pilots. It's an absolute crisis. The U.S. doesn't have the morale. It doesn't have the manpower, especially in these technical areas. And promotions are not based on merit in the U.S. It's based mostly on conformity. Now, I come from a military family, but the U.S. military is a joke. It's a paper tiger. These guys, especially the officers, do live in luxury. They're so wildly overpaid. They have the best of everything. And I'll say it again, when you have this kind of treatment and veneration, you're going to behave like this and you're going to get sloppy. But American morale, despite all of this, American morale is extremely low. And diversity is just a big part of that. You can't have merit-based promotions with diversity hiring. And with the money that some of these guys are willing to make, this is a way out, you know, of poverty for a lot of non-whites. So, you know, it's the U.S. military is in a crisis in almost every area, despite them being worshipped and venerated at home and having this massive budget. We know the corruption and the waste is everywhere. And even with almost $1 trillion being spent this year, a lot of these things are being pushed off onto private contractors. And when anything goes wrong, they blame the Russians. I mean, this is the American military today.
Well, that's exactly what they what they've actually done here. They blame the Russians. They said that it was all caused by GPS failures. And Norway and Finland, first of all, they said, well, the GPS hasn't been working right. We haven't been able to use the sat-navs properly. And then after that, they said, well, it must have been Russia. Russia must have been jamming the sat-navs, and that's why we had all these accidents. And then you think, well, hang on a minute. Isn't this supposed to be a simulated war? Wouldn't the first things that get shut down and jammed, wouldn't that actually be the GPS? Wouldn't it be the sat-navs? Don't they have a way of navigating that doesn't rely on something that can be so easily jammed? And then you think, well, as you were saying earlier, Matt, if NATO is having these war games on in Europe, then obviously Russia will be countering and carrying out countermeasures to these war games, defensive measures on the side of Russia. So, you know, it is feasible that Russia may have jammed the GPS, but they've got no proof of it at all. They haven't offered any proof that Russia was responsible for this. But this is the excuse that's been given. Oh, it was GPS failures. But as I say, that just makes it look even worse, because they should have had a contingency plan for if the GPS suddenly stops working. I mean, that doesn't make you feel very safe, does it? That, you know, to defeat the army, all the other side has got to do is take out the GPS satellites or jam them. I mean, that can't be very hard to do, especially not if Russia can just do it seemingly so easily as this. But they haven't said that they're actually responsible for it. And just as you were saying there about morale, Matt, I mean, morale in Britain's army is at an all-time low as well. And that's because they've been advertising for people who cry, Muslims, homosexuals and cowards in the latest British army adverts. And instead of saying be the best, they've got some other slogan now. It was always be the best, be the very best. And what they're saying now is, well, we don't actually want the best people. We want people that are going to stop to pray six times a day, people that can't stop crying, and people that engage in sodomy. That's the sort of people that we want now. So the normal people that are in the British Army are seeing these adverts, and of course they're very much insulted by them. On top of which, you've also had they've been told they can't support Tommy Robinson, who is extremely popular amongst the working classes and especially among the army. And there's been a big purge of people that like Tommy Robinson recently. So the army is almost just as bad as the police now, I would say. But what are your thoughts on this GPS jamming, Matt, that they're making an excuse of here, saying it was Russia?
Well, it took me a while to realize just how incredible it is that during war games, they're dependent on GPS. It took me a while to wrap my brain around it, because it's so absurd. To be dependent on that, even in a fictional war, is absolutely ridiculous. They have far superior guidance systems internally. You know, where's all this money going? This is you know, high-tech military that apparently is so incompetent that they can't secure their satellite signals from a Russian attack. On the other hand, the Russians, having penetrated this non-existent security system, can't cover their own tracks. So however you look at it, it's absurd. The only thing that the British Army has said is that it's definitely the head of NATO said in a conference, he said, well, we know it's Russia because they're the only ones who have both the capability and the motive. And then he went on to say that the other methods of guidance are inferior to GPS. So no, I don't feel particularly safe, even against a legitimate enemy. But one thing that the Russian defense ministry said concerning the Norway issue was that, you know, Russia has very little by way of offensive capabilities. Their army, unlike the old Soviet army, is based largely on defense. You know, they have very few ships for a amphibious landing, for example. They don't have your normal offensive pieces of materiel that you would normally require for that. The U.S., of course, has tons of it. So this whole myth that Russia has any kind of aggressive tendencies when it's still in the process of rebuilding its economy is laughable. And you see how far they're willing to go when they overthrew the Ukrainian government because it was going to join the customs union. You know, how far will they go to keep the UK in the EU? And certainly Germany in the EU, because Germany pays for everything and gets very little, by way of benefits, you know, and so it's, but as far as the military is concerned, the left is in a catch-22. They can impose, the leftist agenda on the military or else it falls apart, like it's doing right now. And yet they have to impose it, because if they don't, they'd be admitting that it's ridiculous, that it does destroy institutions. So they impose it on the military, and you get this. Non-merit-based promotions, guaranteed promotions. The Air Force guarantees you major if you come out of college as a second lieutenant, and ridiculously high salaries. You know, this is what you get. And so these are all connected issues, and plus the fact that I don't think anyone really takes the Russian threat seriously as an offensive matter. They haven't done anything to suggest any kind of offensive interest. So this whole thing is based on mythology. It's a house of cards, and the U.S. military is a paper tiger.
Well, back on that GPS, Matt, you also have to ask, well, hang on a minute, how come the civilian aircraft didn't have a problem? How come all the other vehicles in Norway didn't have a problem? And how come it was the Navy frigate that crashed into the oil tanker and not the other way around? And just before we finish, Theresa May has come out for a press conference and she basically looks like she's doing some damage control. She's not going to step down. So, she may step down tomorrow if more ministers resign, but she's being a typical arrogant self, I think, and saying that we all have to just get behind her shoddy Brexit deal. So we'll keep our eye on that anyway and bring you more on that as we hear more about it. Matt, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.